it. We move forward in our discourse, scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. There are some more that we have placed in the back. Don't worry. The more that are utilized, the better I like it. Amen. Because this is information that is a must. It is a must. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. All right, Elder Liverman is our designated reader this morning. Elder, I'd like for you to turn, everyone to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, which is our base scripture. In conjunction with that, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, 16 through 19, really, that's where we were last week. And in conjunction with that, turn to the section that we are dealing with, the existence of everything was initialized, actualized by God's decree in eternity. Around page 14, amen. This is information that is critical, especially in this day and time. God's people need to dwell in the realm of reality. Oh, Lord, amen. Help us to dwell in the realm of reality. Sound, clear, concise. Understanding the comprehension of those things that around us. All right? Everyone has Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Say amen. All right, Elder, read that first from the King James because, and we do this simply because most of you have Bibles that the King James translation. And then we shall read it from the Greek. All right? Reader, read.
Colossians chapter 1, beginning with the 16th verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and they are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
All right, from the Greek text, those of you who have your Greek interlineals, if you don't, just follow along.
1 Colossians 1, 16, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Because in him.
In him, in him, in him. I'm going to continue to hit that point because by him means it's remote.
Right.
It is construed remote, and why it is in the instrumental case, which means it is by the means of him, here the locative case of it being located in him is where we must focus, that all of creation and the entire universe abides in him, and yet he is not defined by the universe. God is much bigger than the universe. The universe is in him. All right, read.
Because in him were created all things,
mm-hmm.
in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible,
mm-hmm.
whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
And you know, you have here, you have the definite article there, ta, actually ta panda, which is conveying the essence. You have the definite article, which means all, means all. All, everything, visible, invisible, seen, unseen, every thought, nothing can happen without it being the design, purpose, and will of God enabling such to transpire. All things through him.
Amen.
Amen. Through him, faith, through him and east, for him. So it reads ta panda ti aftu ke is afton. So it is through him, amen, and for him. Oh my God, hallelujah. You've heard some signs, well, it has to come by me first. Everything has to go by.
Right.
Oh my God. Right. And it's for him. It's what, well, no matter how that thing may look to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so from this, what we garner is that the real essence of a thing is its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It must be defined by its purpose. So instead of asking, what is this, what? The question should really be, if you're going to pose a question, it's not what is this, but what is this for? Amen. God has, y'all don't hear me this morning, God has a reason and a purpose for everything that happens. And everything that happens, amen, falls within the realm of God's workings. He worketh all things together, amen, good. Those loving the Lord, those, the ones called according what?
His
purpose. Everything is working according, oh my God, everything is working according to God's purpose. I rather think that than to think that something is going on out there and God is just as perplexed as we are. As to why it's going on. You mean God doesn't have anything to do with that, you know what? Plane flies into the building and all. God didn't do that. The devil did it. So God stood by and looked up and said, "Devil, what did you do that for?" Oh, no. I, God, hallelujah. The enabling force of evil, the essence of God's design purpose. Amen. He has a purpose in all the evil that's about us.
Amen.
That's working within the realm of God's purpose. Amen. All of the unfortunate things that occur on a daily basis. Amen. The things that depress you. Amen. We must begin to look in terms of God's purpose. But it begins with salvation. But there's information that we have to know, we have to understand, and we have to be aware of daily. Let's now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to kind of recapitulate that for a minute. We had gone through a couple of verses there, and we took it up in perfecting class last Sunday evening, in the evening service. And I want to hit it one more time, and of course, this is not the last time we'll be dealing with it, because it figures so permanently into what we're doing and what we are thinking. Elder, just read it from the King James first, and then we'll come back and we'll clear it up. 16 through 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Everybody got to say amen. All right. Elder, read.
1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning with the 16th verse. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
All right.
Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world,
mm-hmm.
that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches,
mm-hmm.
but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
And see, that's a terrible translation. That's not. Oh my God, we'll straighten it up. All right, go to verse 18.
That they do good.
Mm-hmm.
That they be rich in good works.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to distribute.
Mm-hmm.
Willing to communicate.
Uh-huh.
Laying up in store for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
A good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
That's not what that's saying either. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the Greek.
First Timothy chapter 6, 16 through the in the Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
The only having immortality,
mm-hmm.
light inhabiting, unapproachable,
mm-hmm.
whom saw no one of men.
See, what you have here, and of course, what you must understand that these superlatives that are given here in the form of in the case of immortality, it is a noun. In the case of unapproachable, inaccessible, and uninterruptible, we're dealing with adjective. And when you look at the word order, amen, it is all pointing back at him. Him. It starts out who? Oh, monos. Who alone? Who only?
Right.
Amen. Only, when you say only, and then you take these superlatives, you know that they can only be traced back to one source. The only. Oh my God. The only. Amen. And then we have a verb participle here. Amen. Ekon, which speaks of it living. It here dwelling. Amen. Basically, it's not defining God in relationship to where he is dwelling, but that which is dwelling in him. In him. What is dwelling in him, amen, is immortality. What is, y'all don't hear me, amen. All immortality is him. We can say he is immortal, but immortality is in him. Amen. Uninterruptible. That is in him. We can say he is uninterruptible, but interruptibility is in him. In him. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Speaks of what sets God apart. And he goes on here and he says, in relationship to others that may be compared to him, amen, it is unthis, which is translated no one. And they said no one, amen, no one of men. So no one, and especially here we're speaking of men, cannot do, amen. Here there's it's a gulf, and I'm using that, amen, term, and it doesn't really describe the delineation, the differentiation between man and God, but for anthropomorphic languages, we will use that, amen, but there, that gulf and divide between who God is and who man is, amen, It can only be described as infinitive. Amen. Here we have, follow me this morning, we have a verb here, thinate, which is translated able or capable. Amen. Here, when we deal with God, we're talking about in a relationship, as we mostly view, we said able or capable, we think of that in relative terms. But here, we must look at it in regards to absolute term. When we say capable, amen, and incapable, that there are only two. You say, well, I can do some things, and, some things I can do, some things I can't do. No, you can't do, without him, you can do what?
Nothing.
You can do nothing. So here you have an absolute term here, amen. And so it is, here he is given honor to the strength and effectiveness, amen, of he who is truly, amen, immortal, dwelling inaccessible and uninterruptible, he, amen, who is apart from every other thing, any other entity, amen, because all capacity and capability abides in him, the only.
Right.
And outside of him, there is no capability. And there is no capacity. Amen. Everything must depend upon him and him alone.
Right.
And with this understanding, he goes on into verse 17. Read.
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
The rich in the now age.
The rich in the now age. Here he's talking about physicalities. Those who have abundance of physicality. So who think that they have abundance in physicalities, amen. And the thing about the abundance of physicalities, as we shall see later as it reads down, there are some descriptions for the abundance of physicalities. Read that.
Charge thou not to be high-minded.
Don't be high-minded.
Nor to have set on a riches.
Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Neither what?
Set on a riches, uncertainty.
Look at that word. Uncertainty. And you know what? What struck me that is that it is a noun. Apilotiti. It is a noun. And noun is the name of what?
Person, place,
or thing. So, basically, that which is described up in the earlier part of this verse as riches, rich, a well-to-do, or the rich, that which we have, abundant things, or things, amen. What is assigned to the riches of things is uncertainty. The riches of physicalities, uncertainty. That uncertainty is tied to one thing. It is tied to the fact that these things are temporary. They're temporary. I don't care how much you know the pharaohs, as we see from history, that they died and they built great pyramids. And they put their abundance of wealth in there with the idea of they had the right idea concerning living continuously in another form,
right.
But they were all messed up thinking that they were moving from physicality to physicality.
Right.
Hmm?
Right.
Amen.
Come on.
In the time, follow me this morning, in the time capsule, you have physicality.
Right. That's right.
Out of the time capsule, You're done with physicality.
Done now. Through. Finish. Glory.
And everything that's in physicality was designed and devised for the sphere of physicality and the sphere of time and the sphere of creation in time. God has no use for it. And when time comes to an end, the riches of the now age will come to it an end with it. This is why, amen, we have the now there translated uncertainty. All right, read.
Uncertainty, but on God.
But what?
But on God. The one offering to us all things richly for enjoyment.
But our reliance should be on God. On God. What are we relying upon this morning? Unfortunately, God's people have the same unks that the world has. Unks, however you want to pronounce it, which means anxiety. We have the same phobia, the same fears, the same insecurity that the world has. And simply because we are looking at the same thing that the world is looking at for security. We're looking at our bank accounts, those of us that have them. And I guess there's one maybe good thing about not having one. It's not there for you to even try to depend upon, even though if you had it, you would. Huh? We're looking at our jobs. Those of us that have jobs, and those that don't, looking at our retirement, looking to see what's in the nest egg, if you have one. And if you don't have one, maybe that's good in a way, because if you had it, that's what you would be depending upon. Amen. Oh, my God, hallelujah. And I just often wondered why God's servants, those that were around him, he never utilized those that were rich. He never allowed those to become rich. Amen. I think of Apostle Paul. I think of Timothy. I think of Titus. I think of all of those that ministered the gospel of grace. They've been hard-pressed to pool all of their resources and get anything that was worth anything, because none of them had anything. But yet they have it. They had it all. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Now, when we talk like this, some will say, "Oh, yes, you're preaching against having things." No, that's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, understand what you have and what you don't have. Understand the difference that if that thing is physical and seen, you don't really have it. You don't really have it. You don't really have it. You notice in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, when Paul speaks of blessings, amen, used the adjective there. It's an adjective, spiritual blessings. Amen. He didn't talk about the physical blessings. There's nothing wrong with physical blessings, except when you begin to depend upon them, amen, and we just got through reading, amen, that what is described to earthly wares and earthly, amen, riches is uncertainty. Amen. But he speaks of the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And amen. As he speaks, he is talking about the spiritual realm of those things, amen, that are eternally associated with God.
Yes. Yes.
So it is in God. Keep reading.
To work good, to be to work good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, treasure away for themselves foundation, and good for the future.
Now see, let's stop and deal with that. Let's go back to the end of verse 17. But on God, the offering to us, all richly for enjoyment. Now, he is speaking of the spiritual aspect of those things that we can truly enjoy. Follow me now. Many have taken this passage and said, God has given us all these rich things to enjoy. That's not what Paul is saying here. Stop and exegete. It reads, the one giving us, amen. All richly for enjoyment. Now, if you gonna take that word in there and put the word things, it's okay as long as you understand that he's talking about spiritual things.
Amen.
Follow me now. How inconsistent would it be in the first part of that verse for him to tell you that the rich things are uncertain and at the end of it tell you enjoy it? Unless he's saying enjoy it for a period. And of course, that's not what he's saying.
Amen.
As you read down further, he's speaking of things in the eternal essence. As you look at the essence of the context here, Paul is focusing on that which is eternal.
Right, amen.
And what he's speaking of are the eternal things. What is it we should really be enjoying? Justification? Sanctification? Perpetuation? Adoption? You don't even hear about these things in the ministry. These are the things. So, Paul, what are you talking about? Paul's saying, don't look at the uncertain things, but look at the certain things. The certain things he has given to us to enjoy. In the midst of a turbulent economy, he has given us to enjoy what? A big pension fund? No. Nothing that's out there, because everything that is physical, you stand to lose it. How can you ultimately enjoy something that you stand to lose? Because you're always worried about what? About losing it. He's talking about what you can put in the safety, in the safety deposit box of the heavenlies. He's talking about the spiritual. You can only enjoy that you know that you can feel secure in. How can you enjoy something that you don't feel secure in?
Glory. Amen.
You look at the stock market today, and it's all over the place. The Dow Jones went up here because they dropped the rates, and that's going to last for a half a minute. You know, they're trying to make the investors a little more secure, and so for half a day and a few days, they look, that thing start going down again. So there's no certainty in the riches and riches of this world. And the indicator is we look at the stock market, you see the Dow Jones going down, NASDAQ going down, S&P is going down. You know, people, the people with money, they're more troubled than,
no joke,
than we are.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
You know. They're worried about losing it.
That's right. Amen.
And of course, I guess the only reason we're not worried about losing is because we don't have it to lose. But the idea is you can enjoy what you know that you don't have a possible chance of losing.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And what is that? What is that? The spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. That's what he's talking about. Don't you ever think that Paul is talking about something physical. Amen. The translation there, you know, they just went way, you know, I hear the prosperity preachers, they run to that, they put it out from the King James and read that, you know, and everybody says, oh, there it is. No, it's not. He's not talking about that. Amen. One thing about truth is it's consistent. You can't say something's uncertain and in the same verse come back and say you can enjoy it. Huh? Can you?
No,
you cannot. You cannot. In verse 18, he said, though to work good, to be rich in the works, in good works, in good works, in good works, ready to impart, to be generous, treasuring away, amen, for themselves. Now, Paul, in that verse, go back to the antecedent verse there. He's not talking about physicalities. He's not asking you to treasure up of the store up, amen, the physical riches of this world. He's talking about treasure up and store up these eternal valuable things, amen, that are not going to let us down. That are not dependent upon, amen, the Dow Jones, the S&P, oh my God, and what the NASDAQ are doing. Amen. Not worried about the GNP, oh my God, hallelujah. But those things that, oh my God, that are uninterruptible. Y'all don't hear me this morning. These are the things we should depend upon. Finish it up, verse, what's that, 19? 18, go to 19 now.
Verse 19, treasuring away for themselves foundation, a good for the future.
See there? See? Could he possibly be talking about physicality? When you speak of the future. It is so dishonest and ignorant, maybe a little of both, amen, for someone to go in there and ascribe that to physical riches. When Paul is talking about the future, he's not talking about tomorrow, next year, 20 years from now. Someone was preaching about kingdom principles for debt management and went into that, quoting from this, and that Paul was talking about. And one thing, let me give you a little hint here if you don't already know it. Hopefully everybody here knows them. Whenever Paul is talking about riches and things, it is never in the physical sense. In fact, in our gospel, in the epistles of Paul, when you see the writings there, except for when he's dealing with some pastoral things, he's always speaking in the spiritual realm, not the physical. So when Paul starts talking about riches, he's talking about spiritual riches. When he starts talking about treasures, he's talking about spiritual treasures.
Glory to God.
And we cannot depend upon that. So here, treasuring up or storing up to themselves what?
To themselves, for themselves.
A good foundation.
A good foundation. A solid foundation. Paul's not talking about no physical things. What does he write when he says, and I think 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, around 18th verse, he said, the things that are seen are what?
Temporary.
How could that be a good foundation? But the things that are unseen, they're what?
Eternal.
That's the good foundation.
Glory, yes.
Those things that are associated with the spiritual.
Amen. Yes.
Everybody says spiritual.
Spiritual.
A good foundation. If it's physical, it's not a good foundation. Because all physicality is tied to time. And as prophesied, at some point, what? Time will be no more. And what happened to physicality? When physicality is no more, I mean, when time is no more, physicality is no more. So you can ascribe the word future there. What future? What future? Finish that up.
A good foundation
for
the future in order that they may lay hold on the riddle life.
Good for the future. For the future. And here, actually, that word there is a participle. The participle, the verb participle, melon, which is really translated, not future, but it is translated going to be or about to be. What is imminently awaiting in manifestation? What is imminently awaiting us in manifestation? Eternity. Eternity. It's there, it's never gone anywhere, but in manifestation, it is imminently awaiting. This is why when Paul speaks of the death of the physical death of a child of God, he says, absent from the body, what? Presence of the Lord.
Amen.
It's really not a transformation, it's an exchange. In manifestation, you're exchanging what you perceive in the time capsule with what always has been and will be in eternity. That's what he's talking about here. And so, he says that what?
Or that the really life.
Really life. Really life. Really life. Look in the King James, it says eternal life. That's not what he's saying. Even though eternal life is the real life.
Yeah. Amen.
That, now why we go to the Greek? Oh, please.
Hammer.
And it's really not that you may lay hold, you have a subjunctive aorist. Subjunctive mood is what? It's the probability. That's correct. That's part of it. But you have the aorist tense, which is what? So you have may lay hold, haven't laid hold.
Glory to God. Yes.
May in the sense of manifestation, but is a fact in the sense of actualization. This is why we're laying out the difference between actualization and what? Manifestation. Manifestation, the things around us, the things that we see, what is actual is what God has decreed. Every time what you think you see is not what it is.
Amen. That's so true.
And you know that would help us. That would help us to sleep at night sometimes. Because what we think we see, that thing, what we think we see and what we perceive in our minds, visualizing either physically or visibly in our minds, that thing is troubling us. That thing is killing us.
Yeah.
And that thing is not even real.
Yeah.
This is why he said, That's not what he has given us. He has not given us the spirit of timidity, the spirit of fear, but a sound mind. What is a sound mind? A sound mind is one that is dwelling in the plane of spirituality, transcending the physical things that are around you. There's no way you can look around you and feel secure. Be for real. Huh? Because things are changing all around us. The real world.
Amen.
The real life. And so what he's talking about, that you have already taken hold of, the real life. The real life is the eternal essence of what you are and what God has done in placing you in the body of Christ. That's your real life. Not who you are in these bodies walking around here on the 27th, I think it's the 27th of January, 2008, which will be gone in a few hours. Huh? That's not who you are. Who you are is who you are eternally in Christ. That's the real world. And so what we have to do, we have to dwell in that which is real. All right, let's go to the document. Page 14. Where it starts, it says the doctrine, and we are only section. The existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Everybody repeat after me: the existence of everything.
The existence of everything
was initialized.
Was initialized
and actualized,
and actualized
in eternity
by God's decree.
Oh my God! If we could learn that. Page 14, hopefully where it starts off the paragraph, the doctrine of eternal determination. You see that? A couple pages over. The doctrine of eternal determinations. The doctrine of eternal determinations in the sphere of time must be vigorously contested in Christendom. Now I know that's a big fight. Because we are taught that what we do in time determines what happens in eternity.
That's right.
That's not even true concerning God. God's not doing things in time. That which is actualized by his decree in eternity.
Glory.
The only thing you get in time is manifestation.
Whoa.
The doctrine of eternal determinations in the sphere of time must be vigorously contested in Christendom, especially its view of the locale of the enactment of salvation. That is, it's viewed that the conferment of mankind's placement in the body of Christ and the functionality of all things, generally speaking, residing in time. Time is for manifestation only. The actual is in God's decree. The erroneous concept that independent free will is capacitated to determine the functional course of creation, in fact, aversed that non-God entities are empowered to bring into being or be the cause of occurrences and are things inherently within themselves. Listen, there can be no force, no empowerment to produce outside of the exclusivity of God, because he alone exists in eternity when and where all things were actualized. In this sense, there is not, follow this closely, There's not, never has been, nor will there ever be anything outside of God's determination, purpose, enablement, and design. Nor can an independent force direct course of action or bring to fruition anything. Fly does a wicked left wing. Unless God enables it. He is to enable it. Leaf doesn't fall from a tree in the forest. Doesn't matter whether anyone noticed it or not.
Right.
Amen. That thing is all about what God's purpose is.
Yes.
And God has a purpose for that.
Yes.
And mankind doesn't have to witness everything that's in God's purpose.
Right.
There's so much going on in the universe that we don't know about. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
Our problem is, yes, we reluctantly consign all things in the universe occurring exclusively by God's hand and workings. When we get to the earth, we suspend it and we make it a dual operation. God plus man. Man's input. Nobody argues about anything that's going on out there in the cosmic of us having any influence on it. You get the earth, we're in charge. You get the earth, it's dependent upon us. And this is what causes us to be so insecure. You see, the more you depend upon yourself, the less you depend upon God.
Amen.
And the more you depend upon God, the less you depend upon yourself. So you might, why don't you just let it all hang out?
That's it. Amen.
I mean, go completely God.
Yeah.
Don't depend upon anything but yourself and just put it all on God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at this. In respect to design and purpose, God was and is all there is and all there ever was, as he was and is the only enabling force that has ever existed. He is the only force in existence that has originated and actualized all things in eternity, which conclusively rules out any changes in his eternal decree. Other than what God, and you know, that should give us some comfort.
Yeah.
But most of us, we don't have much confidence in God's decree.
Right.
God decreed something and it's running counter to what you want, so you're uncomfortable.
Glory to God.
Most of us don't trust God's will.
Right.
Oh, no, we don't. I'm not talking about the world. They don't even know what this is all about. We're talking about God's people. We don't trust God's will.
Amen.
And that's why we worry. We worry about what God's will is.
Amen.
And we deal with that in the book. Don't be afraid of it. What? Oh my God. Whatever that thing is coming down, and here's the other thing you got to understand. It's already done.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Yes. Amen.
You going in for operation? Hey, don't worry. It's already done. Why worry about, we worry about our bills.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that bill was paid or not paid was already done.
Oh.
And your worrying is not going to get it paid.
No.
Already, absolutely.
It's not. If in the decree of God that thing is paid, it's paid. If it's not, it's not.
Glory to God.
Now, so now your teachers is just go away and don't worry. No. The thing that you do going to work and so forth, that's part of the decree also.
That's it.
What I'm saying, lay down at night, get yourself a good night's sleep.
Glory to God.
Huh?
Amen.
I mean, walking around here, dying 1,000 deaths over something that has already happened. Isn't that right, Mother Goodloe? Don't do that.
Amen.
I said, Pastor, you're talking crazy. No, we're not.
No,
we're not.
No,
Here, Paul here is talking about the real world. What is the real world? The real world is understanding that all things abide in God's decree in eternity. And you're operating in the sphere of manifestations, manifesting whatever that thing already is.
Oh, glory, yes.
You can't change a thing. Going through all these changes. Worrying about my job. Worrying about my children. Worry.
Amen.
It is what it is. And of course, I guess if you worry, I guess that's the creed too. But it's also for you, the creed, to hear the message that says, don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That becomes the process to what has been decreed that you won't worry.
That's it. Oh, glory.
Amen.
Thank you.
God,
oh, my God.
Thank God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Follow me here. He is the only force in existence that has originated and actualized all things in eternity, which conclusively rules out any changes in his eternal decree, other than what God has previously determined. There is nothing else in existence that can arbitrarily, by chance, influentially initiate or produce something else. Chance. Listen, nothing can be produced by chance. Why? Because then chance, occurrences, and time, and manifested creation would be independently capable of overpowering the determinate actualization of God's decree in eternity.
Right.
Ontologically speaking, God's eternal determinants are all there are. We say ontology, we talk about existence. So existence-wise, God's eternal determinants are all there are, and everything that can possibly be done or manifested. Follow this. Accordingly, specters of chance are merely human illusions which cannot overpower what was actualized or brought into existence by God's eternal decree. In fact, chance does not even exist as an option. Let that sink in for a minute. Chance does not even exist as an option. There's no such thing as chance. Follow. It thus follows that chance is something excluded. Chance is something excluded from God's design and purpose and does not exist because it counters what is already actualized in God's eternal decree. Even when chance is perceived through fortuitous implications, manifestation of such is actually dictated by God's eternal decree. Chance is simply a humanly perceived independent force which must always be viewed as inferior,
yes,
to the actualization of things and occurrences by God's eternal decree.
Amen.
If something else, other than what was decreed by God in eternity, were produced or transpired, such would impinge upon the power and will of God. Something else can only be produced by chance if chance was an eternal force with causal effectations. But chance itself cannot be produced by chance. because it is excluded from all that has been produced by the will of God and with conflict with all that he has already determinedly actualized in his eternal decree. You follow that? Now, what does this convey about the essence of existence? What this conveys is that there isn't any merit in the conceptualization of chance, as it is merely a figment of the human imagination. That's all chance is. Even out in the cosmos,
amen,
the bombardment of the stars moving and the elements of the components of God's creation out in the universe moving and so forth, that everything that's going on out there, it might look chaotic. You got stars exploding and dying. Well, hey, you got death on Earth too. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe you must understand that whatever's going on here is just further extended out there. Mm-hmm. So you have death in the cosmos. You have death in the universe. So it shouldn't be no surprise to us that stars are dying, planets are dying. Galaxies are dying. They have observed galaxies being drawn to each other by their respective gravities, merging, clashing, and exploding. You think that happened by chance? Do you really think that happened by chance? Why, sure we do, because we think that things happen on Earth by chance. By what power does chance exert its force? By the power of chance? Who's ruling it? Who's controlling it? Who's regulating it? Well, that's it. It's not regulated. It just does whatever. No. See, no wonder we're so shaky. That's why we fear. Listen to this. I'm going to wind up. Give me 10 minutes. I'm going to bail out this morning. Chance itself cannot be produced by chance because it is excluded from all that has been produced by the will of God and would conflict with all that he has already determinedly actualized in his eternal decree. What this conveys about the essence of existence, there isn't any merit in the conceptualization of chance. It is merely a figment of human imagination. Also, from the viewpoint of origination, there is neither eternal things nor persons that have free will.
Right.
That is, nothing or no one other than God has the ability to choose or determine anything. I think I'll repeat that. Nothing, that's including Brother Chance, or no one other than God has the ability, didn't we just get to reading that? To choose or determine anything. It's nothing can be personally willed.
Oh.
Don't bring that thing up. You may, man, it can happen. If you can do that, then why don't you talk about a few million dollars?
All right now. All right.
Uh-huh. Amen.
All right. Glory to God.
If we don't believe that part, then don't believe that other part either.
That's right.
If you can't will in the good, you can't will in the bad either.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
That's right.
No, you can't.
Amen.
No, you cannot.
Thank God.
Again, an eternal something must have the ability to choose in order to progressively chart the origination and production of all things from the emptiness of nothingness, which existence can only be effectuated as has been so determined in eternity by God's eternal decree. I stop for the day, but oh my God, take this information, internalize it, hide it in your heart, because a lot's going on. You all get ready.
Amen.
Don't listen to the politicians.
Right.
I was watching the Republican debate a couple of nights ago. Everyone has a panacea.
Uh-huh.
Everyone has a solution. It doesn't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
Green Party,
right.
Blue Party, Red Party, doesn't matter.
Right.
As though we can determine the course of things.
Oh, yeah.
So why is the economy messed up? So, well, because of this, they're, no. It's messed up because that's what's decreed.
That's it.
And what we say here, amen, for policy, of course, we don't allow no politicking inside. We come in here, amen, regardless of what's going on out there, it's all about him, right?
That's where it starts,
that's where it is, that's where it continually will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not saying if you want to go work for somebody, of course, with that, we don't bring in that in here, but don't depend upon that thing. Don't put your trust in a man, a message other than this message,
mm-hmm.
a policy,
mm-hmm.
or anything
mm-hmm.
other than in him.
Yeah.
Everybody say, I got a way that we're going to bring peace to the Middle East.
Oh.
I hear somebody say that. I say, can they not read? Have you read the prophecies?
Oh my God.
Have you read Daniel?
Yes.
Have you read Revelation?
Amen.
So we're going to bring prosperity for everyone. Everybody go, woo! Jesus, even in the kingdom gospel, is that when there's that peace, then sudden destruction come upon them. You said prosperity. You're going to have famine in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Pestilence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the end, the earth will melt with what? Fervent heat. Do we all not read? Someone don't tell them that. That's good news stuff. So how is that good news? Because in the essence of that being conveyed, it tells you that you are in the body of Christ, amen, and absent from the body is what?
Right.
Present with the Lord, amen. At some point he comes and he takes us out of here.
Glory to God.
But that's not what most of us is looking
nope.
for. When we say future, we think about retirement
and
401ks and all that. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but that's not what you, so don't depend upon that. Our future transcends what's happening around here.
Amen.
We're going out of here. I said we're going out of here.
Amen.
We're going out of here.
Amen.
One day.
Yeah.
One day. We're going where Jesus is. I know that sounds strange. I don't ever talk about it. But it's the truth. One day. One day. We're going where Jesus is. Whether they believe it or not, we're going to be caught up. Can you say call up? Can you say call up? To meet him in there. There shall we ever be. That is our future. That is our hope. That is our aim. That is our happiness. And that is our enjoyment. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you.